Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the October NJEDA Board Meeting. At this time, all phone participants are in a listen-only mode. Attendees on Microsoft Teams should remain muted until it is their turn to speak. Please be advised today's meeting is being recorded. When the chairman opens the public comment portion of the meeting, members of the public attending in person will be acknowledged to speak first, then by Teams, and then by phone. You will be asked to provide your name and any organization with which you are affiliated. Members of the public attending via Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Members of the public attending by phone will be advised to press star then one on your telephone keypad to be placed into the queue to provide comment. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing star then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. If you require assistance during the call, please press star then zero. I will now turn the conference over to Chairman Terry O'Toole. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Operator. I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask Tim to read the Open Public Meeting Notice, please.
Thank you, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. In accordance with the Open Public Meeting Act, notice this meeting has been sent to the Star Ledger, Bergen Record, and the Transonian at least 48 hours prior to this meeting, and a meeting notice has been posted on the Secretary of State's bulletin board at the Department of State. Pursuant to the Internal Revenue Code of 1986, as amended, this is a public hearing. Comments are invited on any private activity bonds presented today. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Tim. Manira, could you call the roll, please?
Chairman Terry O'Toole.
Present.
Vice Chair Charles Farlow.
Here.
Phil Elagia.
Sorry, here. Couldn't find the mute.
Fred Dumont.
Here.
Aisha Glover.
Present.
Jewel Antoine Johnson.
Here.
Robert Shimko.
Here.
Us Weinrich.
Here.
Jamira Sermon from the Executive Branch.
Here.
Aaron Binder for State Treasurer Moyo.
Here.
Roberto Sabaranis for Commissioner Angelo.
Here.
Manuel Polino for Commissioner Zimmerman.
Here.
Elizabeth Dragon for Commissioner Lacharette.
Here.
The Chairman, we have a call.
Thank you, Manira. We have one set of minutes for approval today. Before you are the minutes from the September 10th NJEDA annual board meeting for review and approval. I'd like to remind people when making a motion or a second to please identify themselves by name. Could I hear a motion to approve the September 10th annual board minutes, please?
Fred Dumont, Chair. I'll make the motion.
Fred, Josh, I'll consider that a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the minutes are approved. Some brief chairman's remarks. Welcome to the NJEDA October board meeting. As we approach the final months of the Murphy administration, the NJEDA remains firmly committed to advancing the vision Governor Murphy laid out when he first took office. A key component of that vision is achieving 100% clean electricity in New Jersey by 2035. Through initiatives such as NJZIP, NJZEV, CPACE, and NJCOOL, the NJEDA has worked diligently to help the state move closer to that ambitious goal. Under NJCOOL, commercial, industrial, and institutional building owners can receive financial assistance for projects that reduce operating greenhouse gas emissions from existing buildings. Due to the high volume of applications, the NJEDA expanded eligibility requirements and infused an additional $15 million to support the program. At today's meeting, the board will consider a new grant program, Retrofit NJ, which stands for Reducing Emissions Through Retrofits Optimization, Fuel Switching, and Innovative Technologies. This $75 million program builds on the authority's ongoing efforts to support the clean energy economy and is designed to complement the NJCOOL program through its support of larger scale and more complex construction projects. Retrofit NJ will also support the development of thermal energy networks, or TENs, an emerging technology with the potential to dramatically reduce emissions across multiple buildings. This initiative represents the largest government-funded construction grant program for TENs in the country, with up to $12.5 million available per project. It's a powerful demonstration of New Jersey's national leadership in advancing innovative climate solutions. Programs like these not only reduce our carbon footprint, but help businesses lower energy costs and create stronger, more resilient communities in the years to come. Together, we're making real progress towards a more sustainable and equitable future for New Jersey. With that, let me turn it over to Tim for the CEO's report.
Great. Thank you, Chairman. It's great to be with everybody. Appreciate everyone taking the time. We have the first of five board meetings we have between now and January 20th or so. So appreciate everyone's time and commitment and real energy that this board brings to our work and the work of the authority. We are near the end of Hispanic Heritage Month. We've had one mark and celebrate that. We actually have a walking tour with Hispanic businesses in West New York. I think it's that next week, Chris, coming up. I think we might technically miss the end of Hispanic Heritage Month, but we'll round in the count close enough to get that in. We've also been highlighting on social media a number of the grants and loans and supports we've made to Hispanic and Latino and small businesses throughout New Jersey, which is a significant and growing part of our state's economy. It's a busy season in September, October for kind of events and various sort of public activities. A number of us were together in Atlantic City in mid-September for the annual Governor's Conference on Housing and Economic Development. It was a great panel discussion that I got to moderate with Ty and Kara Kopak, and then one of the senior leaders from Netflix talking about lots of things, but particularly the community impact. Netflix talking about film and workforce development later today, and all that thematic continues. I'm also Emma, Andrew Gross, and I went to India since we last saw you, and we're in with Governor Murphy, the First Lady, and Choose New Jersey on the, I think it was the 14th trade mission of the Murphy administration for 6 days of a whirlwind through four different cities in India. Interesting time to be there, given everything that's going on at the, call it, federal or national level. We knew we were sailing into some headwinds vis-a-vis tariffs and student visas. We did not expect to have H-1B drops in the governor's lap while we were in New Delhi in a conference room on Saturday morning when that news broke. We all instantly became experts on the different types of visas, which I had never really learned about the difference before, but there's a lot of different kinds, it turns out. But obviously that was a bit of an unexpected challenge. I think the governor talked about this extensively while we were there, the taking the opportunity to be there when times are challenging and to remind India, which is by far our largest source of jobs and foreign direct investment, greenfield foreign direct investment for the last 5 or 10 years, separate from the enormous people-to-people cultural connections that New Jersey's Indian American community has with India, which is, I think, the right thing to do at an important moment just to sort of mark that relationship. It's the only country that the governor has been to twice during his time in office, and I think once something changes in the next 3 months, I think that'll continue to be the only one he got to twice, and so I think that really underscores the importance of that relationship. Really importantly for this board's just awareness, the NJ BASE program, which I think we talked about at two subsequent board meetings and a third coming up at the next meeting, played really, really well. The soft landing, the notion of, again, assuming we steer through the current period challenges, the notion that if an Indian company is thinking about making the leap to the States, being able to send over one or two people for 6 to 12 months, kind of get a feel for New Jersey, hopefully, you know, try before you buy and see what you like or like what you see and make a longer term pivot, I think played really, really well. And that was really, really valuable tool to have in the toolkit. Back home in Jersey, Jewel and I were together with Mayor Starfin and a number of leaders, legislative leaders in Camden. Was that last week?
Yeah.
Because that was about a month ago, but okay. Last week, Jewel and I were together to commemorate and celebrate the $5.7 million that the support approved through the Urban Investment Fund for five or six different projects, investments in park, particularly public space and park-related projects. In Camden, Jewel is a celebrity in Camden, by the way. If you want to brand in Camden, hang out with Jewel when you're in town. I was excited to see her in particular. So it was great and a really important moment. It happened to be a beautiful day, but there was also in this park a nearby childcare center that was really looking forward to seeing the improvements in the park. And it was a reminder of the impact of what we do, but also full circle with all the investments we're making, things like childcare and public space and a pretty robust wide aperture way to view economic development, not just, you know, big companies creating jobs, although we care a ton about that, but also, you know, really making direct and deep investments in our communities. Other event I'd flag is that just yesterday, the chairman, Aisha, myself, Mary, a number of us were together in Newark at Prudential's headquarters for the first convening of the Strategic Innovation Center Advisory Council. Group, which is being chaired by Steve Van Kuyken, who used to run the New Jersey office for McKinsey, and includes seven or eight sort of at-large members, but also a representative from each of the 12 strategic innovation centers. Comments on this, but I thought it was an extraordinary event, really exciting to see those projects, particularly the first four or five. You know, obviously, we've done 12 of them. Some of them we announced as recently as this summer. There's not a lot to report out yet from a project that just got announced this summer, like the Rowan MedTech one. But some of the ones that are earlier, that have been announced earlier, like HACS and the Helix, and Stevens and the fintech platform that Stevens Plug and Play are advancing, really starting to show, you know, early days still, but really starting to show significant results and real enthusiasm around that platform. Appropriately enough, none of us who are in this room can be there unless you have the ability to be in two places at once, but the governor will be in Camden this morning to break ground on the Coriel Strategic Innovation Center and major new headquarters that they're building as part of the Strategic Innovation Center platform. Greece was with us in Newark yesterday as well. So again, we think about the SIC platform. It's important for any number of reasons, but it's particularly in the context of Coriel, the Princeton Plasma Physics Lab, the FAA Research Center and Tech Park in Atlanta County, shining a light and sort of helping to connect better these sort of unsung heroes of the innovation economy. Coriel is a globally significant life sciences and biotech institution that sort of hides in plain sight in Camden. It's enormously important in laboratories all around the world. I don't think it gets the credit it deserves in Jersey. And I think this is going to help not just elevate its profile, but also elevate its connectivity to the startup ecosystem in New Jersey. So exciting to have that happening in good time. And the last thing I'll mention before I hand to Mary for some thoughts to tag team this is the manufacturing tax credit that was approved at this board launched since we last met. That's good news in its own right. I'll just flag, I think we have set a new land speed record for a bill getting to the governor's desk on, call it, July 29th or 30th. It was signed sometime in August. This board heard the rules for it in September. The application launched in September. And so an enormous team effort, Mary and Paul and Kathleen and their teams, Matt Abraham, Lisa and Allison and the rules team, Matt, Gabriel in absentia from the Attorney General's office. I probably forgot some folks. Rudy and the Intergov team and Emma worked an enormous amount of effort and work went into a very rapid adoption and deployment of that program. And we got to actually run it and see how it goes. And that's the harder part starts with actually starting to see applications of all this. For me, is a reminder of the extraordinary capability and depth and breadth of our team and the degree to which I think we work as hard or harder than anybody around. And I think we're just bring an incredible level of professionalism, thought, care, diligence, integrity to everything we do. So I just want to thank the team that worked on that. One of those architects was, in fact, Mary Maples. So without further ado, Mary.
Sure, yeah. So we have a great agenda today. Chairman mentioned the creation of our retrofit program. We also have an exciting partnership continuing with New Jersey Transit around the purchase of electric buses using some of our REGI funds, a really great enhancement to clean energy goals, especially transportation opportunities for South Jersey. In the spirit of film and rules, big shout out in general to anybody who works on rules. I think we keep talking about rules sprints, and I think when you do enough sprints one after the other, it becomes a marathon. So we're really in our rules marathon phase of life, or era, I guess, for the Swifties in the room. So film rules today, just to make sure if you're watching at home, these film rules cover all of the legislative amendments through June of 2025. We had another piece of legislation adjusting our film program this summer, and we're open for our EO 63 process right now for those rules, but really great work with the team to finally adopt a huge amount of improvement and changes to the film program to cement those in. So that's a great item. And in partnering with that, we have workforce training grants for the film industry on the agenda as well, making sure that we're getting ourselves ready as these studios continue to open and expand. Also bringing forward funding opportunity to reactivate the fourth round of our asset activation planning grant program, which is certainly much appreciated by the towns that do use it. So really great program there. And lastly, just for good housekeeping, we've got our 2024 audited financials. So you'll hear more from Morris later, but excited to have a clean audit there as well. So with that, we can kick it off.
Yeah, we do. Mentions get the board dashboard as well. Monthly report out. I don't know that we ever have had or ever will have a $646 million of approvals in September month again. If we do, I think Treasurer and Aaron might need smelling salts. So we'll try and keep it within reason. But a lot of that was at the banner board meeting we had in September, but a lot happened between the meetings at the staff level with the delegated authority we have. I would also just shout out and give a nod to the very last two items on the bottom of the page, the legal affairs and customer care log. Just as a reminder of the volume of things we're dealing with, 170 legal reviews, 179 sister agency reviews, 17 open requests. Legal affairs team just manages tremendous amounts. As we do more and engage more broadly and deeply, that just means more homework and due diligence and inquiries that we get that have to be dealt with professionally and well. So thanks to Lisa and her team. And the customer care, 2,000 plus inquiries on our website, our chat, our phone line, Bruce and patients, the team that manage that, do such an extraordinary job. None of those calls are happy thank you calls, by the way. So dealing with sometimes understandably irritated folks it requires a tremendous amount of, again, care and grace and tact. And so just want to thank those teams for their work as well. That, Mr. Chairman, back to you.
Great. Tim and Mary, thank you. This is, again, something I think we put in process or in place maybe 12 months ago, 18 months ago. It's just a great way to kind of keep track of all the great things we're doing. Just another comment that on yesterday, I think we had representatives from all 12 SICs there. And the Gov spoke for 20 minutes or so, and just a really exciting day. And that we the team produced a great booklet sort of summarizing all the SICs, and it's really great to see what's happening, as you point out, sort of acknowledging some of the real jewels of New Jersey, like the Plasma Physics Labs and Coriel and others. So really exciting. All right, we're going to move forward. The public comment section of the meeting now. I will now open the public comment portion. First, I will ask Danielle Esser to share NJEDA's public comment policy and process for this board meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the public who wish to speak during the public comment portion of the meeting will be acknowledged to speak first in person, then by Teams, and then by phone. Members of the public attending by Microsoft Teams may use the raise hand feature to be placed into a queue to provide comment. Each person will be acknowledged to speak one at a time in order of hands raised. Once acknowledged, please unmute yourself to provide your comment. All members of the public must remain muted following the public comment portion of the meeting. A staff member may mute you if you are unable to remain muted. Members of the public attending by phone who are interested in providing comment will be advised to press star then one to be registered to speak, which will place each person into a queue to speak and provide comment based on the order received. Now we'll go over NJEDA's public comment policy, which is also available on the NJEDA website. Each speaker will be prompted to speak one at a time. Each speaker should announce his or her name, organization affiliation, and the topic on which the remarks will be given. Each speaker will have a maximum of 3 minutes to speak and should limit their comments to matters pertaining to the authority. Staff will prompt the speaker once their time has expired. A person may not register to speak more than once during the same public comment period to ensure there is enough time available for all those who wish to speak, and related documents, printed comments, or materials may be attached to an email. We look forward to receiving your public comment at this time.
Thank you, Danielle. I'd now like to acknowledge members of the public who wish to provide comment at this time. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to address us? Okay, seeing none, could we call on members of the public on Teams with hands raised, if any? Danielle, is there anyone with their hands?
Members of the public, please select the raise hand feature to provide public comment. You're not seeing any, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Operator, could you see if there's anyone on the phone who would like to provide a comment?
Ladies and gentlemen, for members of the public on the phone, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question by pressing star then two. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, you may press star then one at this time. One moment to see if we have questions. And I am showing no questions.
Okay, thank you, operator. I'll now consider the public comment portion of the meeting closed. We'll move on with the action items for today. As we do at every board meeting, we report on the committee meetings that we held between the last board meeting and today. I'm going to start with two, the policy and audit committee reports. The NJEDA policy committee met on September 29th and considered several items which will be presented for action today. Highlights include the creation of a new program, the retrofit program, which we've talked about, an MOU with New Jersey Transit to expand the Camden bus electrification program, and approval of applications and respective grants for the NJ Filmworks grant program and declinations of other applications. The audit committee met on September 30th to review and consider two voting items which will be discussed today. One is the audited financial statements for 2024, and second is a recommended contract for independent auditor services going forward. The committee also heard presentations on various programs and reporting. Staff will present on each of these items. So moving on to our first action item, clean energy, Andy Garcia on the retrofit New Jersey program.
Good morning, I'm Andy Garcia, product officer with the clean energy team. I'm here to ask the board's approval for the creation of the Reducing Energy Through Retrofits, Optimization, Fuel Switching, and Innovative Technology Grant Program, or RETROFIT. RETROFIT is a grant program that's intended to support multi-pronged, large-scale retrofit projects that enable holistic energy improvements at buildings, campuses, and multi-building facilities. The program would utilize $75 million in 2023 through 25 REGI strategic funding plan. To give you a brief overview of the program, it will be a rolling application grant program that aims to catalyze high-impact, high-visibility projects that significantly reduce greenhouse gas emissions, serve as replicable models, accelerate New Jersey's clean energy transition, and stimulate economic growth in the clean energy industry, one of the state's targeted industries. The program is designed to support commercial, industrial, and institutional building owners or equivalent tenants seeking to complete energy-saving and greenhouse gas emission-reducing retrofit construction projects that enable buildings in eligible building spaces. Retrofit projects must be located in New Jersey and have a minimum cost of $5 million. In addition, the projects must include work from three of the following scope categories: on-site renewable energy generation, on-site energy storage, electrification or fuel switching of heating systems, refrigerant replacement, or general energy efficiency improvements such as lighting improvements, green roofs, cool roofs, electrifying appliances. As an alternative, project scopes involving thermal energy networks can be standalone projects and do not need to meet these previous scoping requirements. For those of you not familiar with thermal energy networks, they're a shared system that delivers heating and cooling to multiple buildings through insulated pipes using centralized or distributed energy resources such as geothermal, waste heat, or heat pumps. In addition, electric vehicle charging can be added to either scope. While it won't be an eligible qualifying criteria, it is an eligible expense. Grants under retrofit will cover 50% for private, commercial, and industrial entities and 60% for institutional and not-for-profit entities. There'll be a 5% bonus for overburdened communities. The minimum grant award would be $2.5 million for projects starting at $5 million, and the maximum grant award would be $12.5 million for thermal energy networks and $10 million for all other projects. After the applications open, 50% of the funding pool would be set aside exclusively for projects in overburdened communities and or for institutional applicants for one calendar year. Upon the expiration, eligible applicants, the funding would be open to eligible applicants on a first-come, first-served basis. As an open window program, applicants will be reviewed on a rolling basis. As part of their application, applicants have to provide verified projections from a qualified third-party professional to show the avoidance of one metric ton of CO2 equivalent for every $250 in requested NJEDA grant award money over the project's useful life. Applicants will also be required to submit at least a soft commitment for matching funds at the time of application, and staff will conduct a financial viability review after application submission. Applicants will have 12 months from the date of the grant agreement execution to provide proof of funding for the balance of the project cost not covered by the grant, with the possibility of an additional six-month extension at EDA's discretion. EDA will provide review and approval of the proof of funds via its underwriting process. Eligible costs include soft and hard construction costs. Construction activities must comply with New Jersey Affirmative Action and Prevailing Wage requirements, and a look-back period of 18 months prior to the application submission will be included to allow 20% of the eligible project cost for design, engineering, planning, and audit work. Project construction must begin within 12 months of grant agreement execution with the possibility of a six-month extension, and construction must be completed within 3 years of commencing construction with the possibility of one-year extensions. There'll be a $1,000 application fee for this program. The memo is requesting the board approve the creation of the program, utilization of $75 million in RESI funds to capitalize the program, delegated authority for the CEO to increase the funding pool up to $150 million if applications demand exceeds the initial $75 million, and delegated authority for the CEO to adjust the program's construction initiation, completion timelines, and requirement for time, and the requirements and timelines for application financial documentation submission. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Two quick comments. One, seriously, the other one, I'm going to define the acronym. I thought we were possibly just yelling at the marketplace about how important this program was in all caps. That's an acronym. Just yell. Second, on a serious note, and skating up the ice on purpose, in a world of sort of higher energy prices and a world of a lot of complications vis-a-vis offshore wind. We'll talk about that a little bit later, which was, you know, the big injection of new generation in the state that was contemplated, which is delayed. It was very delayed. At this point, I think the theme of energy retrofits and energy efficiency only grows in importance, both from a market appetite perspective and a business need perspective. So I think this program, COOL, some of the tools in the toolkit, the CPACE program, some of the lending tools from the Green Bank, all really come together because, again, oversimplifying it, your energy prices are too expensive. You can either generate more or use less. You probably do both. And so these tools are, I think, going to be increasingly important going forward.
When would this program actually take effect? Would it be next year?
We're likely to launch January next year.
Do you have any, I know it's hard to do, but any anticipated view on the receptivity, you know, how much demand there'll be for this?
Well, a lot of this program kind of came off NJ Cool in the respect that that wasn't enough to satisfy a lot of larger projects. So the reason we added thermal energy networks into it is the BPU is actually administering a lot of research programs, and there is some, you know, projects that want to get off the ground. And in general, we just see a lot of demand from NJ Cool projects that, you know, it wasn't enough funding for this.
So it's sort of be a larger NJ Cool project?
It's a little bit more flexible. But yes, we have a lot of the feedback we got kind of helped guide this program.
Any other comments or questions? Anyone on the phone? Comments or questions? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Dragon motion.
Elizabeth, second. Thanks, Cool. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the program is approved. Good luck.
Thank you, everybody.
Next, Ahmed, on MOU and NJ Transit to expand the Camden bus electrification program.
Morning. I'm Ahmed Chaudhary. I'm the manager on the clean energy team. Today, we're requesting the board to approve entering into a memorandum of understanding with New Jersey Transit for the purchase of 8 new electric buses and expansion of EV charging infrastructure at their Newton Avenue garage in Camden, New Jersey. The New Jersey EV law sets requirements to advance the adoption of EVs across the state, including a mandate of 10% of new buses by and purchased by NJ Transit to be zero emission buses by 2024, 50% by 2026, and 100% by 2032. To meet these requirements, NJ Transit launched a bus electrification program at its Newton garage in 2022, where 8 electric buses are currently operating. In August this year, Governor Murphy also announced the expansion of this program with the addition of 8 new electric buses. To meet the goals and mandates of the EV law and as per the goals of the Murphy administration, NJEDA will provide up to $16.5 million in ready funding to New Jersey Transit that will enable them to procure, maintain ownership, and put into service the 8 new Class 8 electric buses. The funds provided will also be used to procure and install electric charging infrastructure to meet the expanded charging needs resulting from the acquisition of the new electric buses. As part of the MOU, NJ Transit will be responsible for project oversight and facilitation, including safety, training, procurement of services, completion of design, engineering, structural and electrical work, and acquisition of all required approvals and permits. Within 120 days of the effective date of the MOU, NJ Transit will also be required to submit a plan and project timeline to the EDA, describing in detail the program, project schedule and key activities. NJ Transit will provide the EDA with an annual budget update each January that includes an accounting of all NJEDA funds, including documentary evidence of all project expenses that have been incurred. NJ Transit will also provide an annual progress report that is submitted each January and describes the progress on the procurement and operation of the electric buses and the electric charging stations and all other activities associated with the project. And the MOU has milestone-based disbursement. 50% of the funds will be dispersed upon execution of the MOU, and the remaining 50% is dispersed upon the submission to EDA of an invoice or purchase order for the 8 electric buses. Through this memo, the board members are asked to approve entering into an MOU with NJ Transit to support the purchase of the 8 electric buses and procurement installation of the associated charging infrastructure, utilization of $16.5 million in ready funds to complete this project, and delegation of that's the last one. Thank you, and I can take any other questions.
Thematic perspective, obviously one is continuing to extend and deepen, as Mary mentioned, our partnership with transit, particularly transit and development, now this. This is also a piece with our broader rich investment priorities, so energy retrofits, clean buildings, which we just talked about a minute ago, is one of them, and then clean transportation has always been a big part of our package of investments, so things like the NJZIP program, the ZEV program, this is a public sector version versus a private sector version, but harmonious with that theme of clean transportation.
I have one point of clarification. So the disbursements is two disbursements, 50% at the execution of the MOU, 50% when the 8 buses are purchased. So is there anything tied to the completion of the construction, or is it presumed that you would buy the buses when that's complete?
There isn't any funding distribution tied to the construction associated with the EV charging infrastructure, but we do have reporting requirements integrated within the MOU, so they are required to submit reporting annually, and if there are stipulations within that, the funds have to be used within purpose designated as the funds are there.
Does Transit have any other hubs that have participation in this program or electric buses throughout the state?
So, yeah, they did launch an initial program in Camden where they have 8 buses already operating, and this would expand on that purpose based on Governor Murphy's announcement in August this year to support the purchase of 8 buses.
So it's only Camden?
I think that's the first only electric. There's some fuel cell buses running around all over. I think it's the first early electric buses.
There's some broader infrastructure improvements they need to do with their other bus parking garages and things before they can incorporate electric more broadly.
Got it. The challenge of any of our homes, getting electric vehicle chargers stuck in your garage, multiply that times many degrees of complexity for a bus garage that has probably built, when one of the Roosevelts was president. Yeah.
Any other questions? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to hear a motion to approve the program.
Wayne Rich, move it.
Thank you, Josh. Second.
Thanks, Orla.
Thanks, Charles. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the MOU is approved. Thank you. Next, under Workforce Innovation Partnerships, Kathy, on addendum to the MOU on the green economy with NJDEP.
Good afternoon. The Workforce, I'm Kathy U.S., I'm team lead on the Workforce Innovation Partnerships team, and we are here to request the board to approve an addendum to the MOU between EDA and DEP to approve DEP providing $6 million in funding to the EDA to continue supporting the efforts of the Governor's Council on the Economy. The funding.
You've been muted. To unmute yourself, press *6.
The impact of this addendum will position New Jersey as a leader in innovative workforce development and research initiatives in the green economy. The funding will support the following activities: a grant challenge to support new green workforce training programs, a fellowship program for students attending private and public colleges and universities in New Jersey to further the development of New Jersey's clean energy industry, and other programs or initiatives to support the development of a green workforce in New Jersey. The term of the addendum is 2 years. Thank you, and I can take questions at this time.
So again, to be clear, this is NJDEP providing funding to the EDA to then support the program.
Yeah.
So we're accepting your funding. Any questions? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Thanks, Marsha.
Ms. Gould, second?
I'll second it, Jamira.
Ms. Jamira, any further discussions? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the memorandum is approved. Next, Luke, on NJ Filmworks Grant Program Awards and Declinations.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Luke Brunskill, Project Officer with Workforce Innovation Partnerships. We are requesting the board approve 5 applications and their respective grant awards for the New Jersey Filmworks Grant Program, totaling $3 million, and to decline all other applications. The program was created to prepare residents for jobs in the growing film and digital media industry with a particular focus on serving overburdened communities. The $3 million for awards are funded through the fiscal year 2023 State Appropriation for Film Industry Strategic Support Fund. The minimum and maximum amounts for individual awards were set at $250,000 and $750,000, respectively. NJEDA received 36 applications for the grant program. 3 applications were deemed incomplete, rejected, and not scored. Of the remaining 33 applications, 8 scored an 80 or above, which is the minimum score required to be considered for an award out of 100 points. All 5 programs offer training at no cost to participants and include a variety of wraparound supports. And together, they propose to train 450 participants. First recommendation for award, Real Stories Team Filmmaking Incorporated, doing business as Real Works, will train for the following occupations: assistant camera, production accountant, and set carpenter. Training will take place near the planned Netflix studio campus at Fort Monmouth. The grant award is $750,000, and their proposal received a score of 89.93. Second, Aspire Youth Development will train participants for assistant editor, camera operator, and film and TV editor. Training will take place primarily in Lumberton and be accessible to Camden, Gloucester, and Burlington County residents. The grant award is $444,164, and their proposal received a score of 88.
You are no longer muted.
Yes, Newark will train participants for production assistant and rigger grip set grip, and training will take place primarily in Newark. The grant award is $750,000, and their proposal received a score of 87.6. Number 4, Able Cine Tech LLC will train participants for audio and video technician, camera operator, and digital imaging technician. Training will take place primarily in Newark. The grant award is $668,838, and their proposal received a score of 86.40. Fifth and last, Independent Content Studio will train for the following occupations: assistant editor, audio and video technician, and set design. And training will take place in Paulsboro and Gibbstown. The grant award is $386,988, and their proposal received a score of 84.20. With these 5 awards, the entire $3 million funding allocation will be fully utilized. Thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
The only thing I'd comment on is obviously good geographic diversity here with both, you know, 2 in Newark, 1 in sort of Greater Monmouth, and then 2 in Sackers as well. So, reflecting a statewide ambition. These studios may not be fully geographically distributed, but the opportunity, I think, certainly is. And the opportunity is very significant here. So. Well, for the program.
It also looks like you got a lot of applications.
We did. Yeah, it was a very popular program.
Comments or questions?
Hi, this is Aisha Glover. Aisha Glover. I know I made most of these comments during the policy committee meeting, so just want to give you kudos for the whole team, just really vetting these organizations and showing they have previous relevant experience, the wraparound services and everything. So I think it's a really solid program.
Thanks, Aisha. We did, you know, we did have a good discussion about this during the committee meeting. Okay, Anyone else on the phone, comments or questions? Hearing none, did I hear a motion to approve?
So moved, Elijah.
Thanks, Bill. Second?
I'll second, Aisha.
Aisha. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the recommendation is approved. Thank you. All right, next, under community development, Jason, on asset activation planning grant program round 4, funding and revisions.
Good morning. Jason Miller, I'm senior planner with community development. In 2022, the board approved the asset activation planning grant program to support projects that would activate deficient, underutilized, or vacant public assets. The program provides grants for pre-development planning activities such as concept design, feasibility study, and economic analysis. The program was funded through two state appropriations, first through the 2021 Main Street Recovery Finance Program funding, and then through the 2023 Appropriations Act. Through three rounds of grants, the program has offered nearly $1 million in funding and has made 18 grant awards. Plans produced from these projects have led directly to state funding allocations, additional EDA programming, and accelerated development pipelines for public assets around the state. To continue this work, we are requesting utilization of $300,000 of the remaining $850,000 program funds for a fourth round of grants. The remaining balance will be allocated back to the Main Street Recovery Fund in a separate board action anticipated next month. There are also three recommended improvements to the program rules and administration for this round. One, extending the application cure period from 5 business days to 15. Two, revising the application window from 90 days to 12 months. And three, increasing the maximum award size from $50,000 to $100,000. Those are the extent of the recommendations at this time. I'm happy to answer any questions about them or the program.
Can we go through the prior awards?
I think it's the next slide.
And again, just to be clear, the $300,000, you haven't offered that round of applications yet?
No.
Okay, so nothing to approve today in terms of the awards. It's just allocating the $300,000.
Exactly. It's providing funding for the fourth round.
Yeah.
Based on
prior rounds. Would it be helpful to hear
this? Yeah, it might be helpful to
get context, yeah. All right, so why don't we go and just talk to us about the prior rounds.
Oh, sure. So the first round in 2022 was initially funded through the ERF using those Main Street Recovery Funds. And with over $400,000, it funded, I think, 9 programs, very well distributed around the state. For example, on the upper image, you can see the rendering of the possible conference center at the Meadowlands. And the second round a year later used new funding that was provided through the 23 Appropriations Act. We had 5 programs receive funding. And one of those was, you can see in Atlantic City, it's a beach replenishment and the extension of the boardwalk near the Clinton Park. And then the third round used unused funds from that previous round and made 4 more awards. And 2 of these programs are wrapping up the next couple of months. So once these are all done, we'll be ready to start brand new.
Jason, these are for planning grants. It doesn't necessarily guarantee you further funds for the actual project they plan for. It helps you in your plan.
Exactly. This program's kind of a tip of the sword economic development program to get the ball rolling or to nudge it forward and get stuff.
And it's based on or designated for a local municipality?
Anyone can apply, but the asset has to be publicly owned.
Got it. Any further questions? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve the allocation of $300,000 to phase 4?
I'm going to move it.
Josh, second. Thanks, Jewel. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the allocation is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next on authority matters, Morris, on the audited financial statements for 2024.
Good morning. I am Morris Friedman, CFO of NJADA. It's Peter. So members are asked to approve the independent auditor's report of the NJADA financial statements for the year ending 12/31/24. The report was issued by our external auditors, PKF O'Connor Davies. PKF has expressed an unmodified or clean opinion on our financial statements for the year. Please note at this time that the statements reflect the footnote disclosures regarding the creation of the New Jersey Green Bank, as well as updated financial outlook for the New Jersey Wind Port. As is required pursuant to Executive Order 122, PKF met with the Audit Committee September 30th, reviewed the 24 statements, the audit, and the committee accepted the statements and the corresponding audit report at that time. The audited financials, when combined with the authority's annual report, which the board has considered previously, serves as the authority's comprehensive annual financial report and fulfills the authority reporting requirements for 2024. Mention your approval before the report is requested.
I might just remind people that we have this bifurcated annual report, I guess, process where the text version was made available publicly months ago. And the actual audited financials are now being approved primarily because we need to wait for information from the state pension fund to complete the audit, which we now have.
Well, thanks. I could add to Morris's comments. One, probably the most important thing, we're in the habit of having this happen, but it's a remarkable thing to have a clean audit, given the complexity and size of the organization, the growth of the organization. I think it's a wonderful kind of bedrock foundation for everything. If we mess that up, we lose the right to do all the other high-profile, that's for public-based stuff. So that's enormously important. So thanks to Morris and the finance team. Shout out in absentia to the Alumni Association, to Rich, and the team that historically oversaw all this. And thanks to everybody at PKF O'Connor for their partnership. The other thing I sort of double-click on is the Windport comment that Morris made. It's on page 55 of the financial statement. It's two paragraphs, but it contains a lot. It's worth flagging. I think we can incorporate by reference the drama and challenges of the offshore wind industry since November or so. Well, it was brewing, but that really came to a head in January of 2025. There's a footnote here which basically marks what is known as a subsequent event. Basically says after the fiscal year versus fiscal year closed, something happened that was relevant to be meaningful to the authority's financial position. It's basically flagging that in 2025 there will be an impairment of the Windport asset, and it flags that the impairment could be as substantial as an entire impairment down to zero. One of the reasons is that there is work being undertaken to E&Y is helping us with to comprehensive evaluation of the port, given the realities that we're facing right now. But it should just be on everyone's mind that there is a meaningful to potential higher asset. That'll happen formally this time next year or so when the financials for 2025 are adopted. And obviously, this is sort of a grim reflection of the reality of where things stand in terms of offshore wind and the revenue potential for the port, given everything that's happened at the federal level. It's a conversation that is one of several that is just heartbreaking, but is what it is. And I think the stewardly thing to do is to do exactly what we're doing here, which is stand up straight, acknowledge reality, reflect that reality in our financial statements, and do what we need to do operationally. I think it's okay with you, Chairman. Probably a slightly broader update to be had on the Windport, which might go to executive session at the end of the meeting. There'd be no votes coming after it, but just a little bit of a broader update on what's going on with the port, because it's relevant to this discussion. But the footnote itself is 150 words or so, but it does sort of contain a pretty meaningful reflection of reality. Mary, I think you've led the charge on this ending. On that.
Just underscoring the importance here of being transparent with public and others and our acknowledgement of the reality we're facing today, and 2025 is not over, so we'll see what we report when that concludes next year.
Any comments? Questions?
Anyone on the phone, comments or questions?
Question. The 138 million that's listed as the increase, is that all originated or allocated to programs that we know of, or some of that new program? I'm looking at the first highlight for 2024. It noted that they had not been dispersed at the end of the year.
That's broadly appropriations flowing through the
It's state and federal appropriations coming in and then going out, and timing differences related to that.
Those are, with almost no exception, possibly no exception, earmarked by the legislature for small business or strategic innovation centers or manufacturing or childcare or whatever they're earmarked for.
Any other comments or questions? Anyone on the phone?
Okay, hearing none, can you hear a motion to approve the audited financial statements as presented? Thanks, Josh. Second? Thanks, Jewel. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the audited financials are approved. Thank you, Morrison. Next, Doug, on a recommendation for contract award for the 2025 RFP on independent auditor services.
Good morning, everyone. I'm presenting this on behalf of the chairman, asking members to approve a three-year contract with two 12-month extension options for independent auditor services. The RFP was issued on May 16th. We received four proposals on June 11th. And the evaluation committee recommended award to PKF O'Connor Davies. Like I said, three-year initial term contract with two 12-month extension options, not to exceed a total value of $992,725.50. Any questions?
I would just make a comment. Charles and I served on the committee, the evaluation committee, as members of the audit committee, along with Jeff from the Treasury Department. My first experience going through this, but it was a very, I think, comprehensive and analytical process. We received four submissions for proposals, responses to the RFP, I guess. We independently ranked them, the committee members, and I think our rankings were very similar, and the scores are included in the memo. It was quite interesting. They sort of fell into two categories of, sort of two firms who distinguished themselves. Then the group went back, or the sort of procurement process went back and requested a best and final offer from PKF, which they reduced their fee proposal, and based on score, as well as the proposal was accepted. So I think, at least from my perspective, a very comprehensive process.
Yes. On behalf of Seth, also extend our appreciation to the chairman and the vice chair, Bill. Their standard hourly rate of zero per hour for that extensive amount of work. Jeff at least gets paid to on this board, but appreciate their the reminder of the deep, extensive volunteer service that this board does.
So the recommendation is to approve the award to PKF, and it's a three-year award, correct?
Yes, 3 years, initial term with two 12-month extension options, an amount not to exceed $992,725.
Any further questions or comments? Okay, hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
So moved, Charlotte.
Thanks, Charles. Second?
Weinrich.
Thanks, Josh. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, recusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Thanks, Dr.
Thank you.
All right, next, we're going to have a DLRC committee report. I want to recognize Jewel Antoine Johnson, the new committee chair, and thank Jewel for taking over the chairmanship. So thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. So The DLRC met on September 24 to review and consider one item that is proceeding to the board for action this month, a standalone bond for the Second Street Youth Center. Staff will present this item.
Thank you, Jewel. Okay, Heather, on the Second Street Youth Center bond.
Senior underwriter. This is a request for a final bond approval. Temporary notice was posted on the EDA's website on October 2nd. The applicant is Second Street Youth Center, which is a not-for-profit that provides educational, vocational, cultural, and recreational activities for youth and adults in the Plainfield community. Programs include an accredited preschool for ages 3 to 5, and accredited after-school program for ages 6 to 11. Family and community services are also provided, and a summer STEAM program for children ages 13 to 15. Authority assistance will enable the applicant to purchase the property located at 200 Plainfield Avenue in Plainfield, Union County. This location is currently occupied by the applicant. The bond will be a direct purchase by Northfield Bank in the amount of $5.4 million. The EDA has also approved a $1,875,000 direct loan to complete the financing of the purchase. 45 jobs will be maintained by the project. We have received and reviewed Northfield Bank's approval and arrived at the same outcome as the bank, that the applicant produces adequate repayment capacity to service the current and proposed debt. All relevant risk has been identified and mitigated, collateral is sufficient, and the loan structure is reasonable. We have received current tax clearance, and legal and sister agency checks are clear. Thank you.
Any questions?
Reminder, we've gotten more in the habit of doing bonds the last couple of months than we had been for the last couple of years, but we don't have direct financial exposure. We, of course, have significant reputational exposure, given that we're lending the state's tax shield, essentially, to these borrowers, which is quite valuable.
I hear a motion to approve. Thank you. Second?
Elijah.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next, Josh. Also, congratulations on his new chairmanship. Thank you for taking over to the Incentives Committee.
Thank you, Chairman. The Incentives Committee met on September 30th. We discussed amendments to the median tax credit program that we considered a tax credit request under the film tax credit program, and staff will now present on that.
Thank you, Josh. Next is Matt on the film and digital media tax credit programs.
Chairman, the members are asked to approve the attached notice of final adoption of the May 2025 specially adopted rule amendments and new rules for the Garden State Film and Digital Media Tax Credit Program. These are pursuant to the last six law changes and will be submitted as final adopted rules for publication in the New Jersey Register, ultimately subject to AG's GRO and OAL approvals. The language in this final adoption is unchanged from the version approved by this board in May of this year. The proposal was posted for a formal six-day public comment period that started on June 19th and closed on August 15th. We received comments from three commenters, the MPA, Coastal Capital, and a member of the public. These comments substantially pertain to the language from the latest bill change, PL 2025, Chapter 81, which was signed June 30th of this year, and not the proposed rule amendments. No changes were made based on these comments. Specific comments received and the authority's responses to those comments are included in the filing below. This final adoption language does not consider any statutory amendments based on the latest bill, which again was signed on June 30th of this year. The authority and staff is currently working on a draft of special adoption and currently propose new rule amendments to incorporate these changes and related policy decisions coming from this newest law. This final adoption was submitted to GRO on September 9th of this year, and staff anticipates submitting this final adoption for publication in the November 17th, 2025, New Jersey Register. The deadline for filing this notice with the Office of Administrative Law is October 22nd, 2025. If the authority is not able to adopt final rules before February 22nd of next year, the current program rules will revert to the previously approved January 6, 2020 program rules. That's all I have, but happy to answer any questions.
So again, I was surprised we didn't have a lengthy discussion of this, and that's because we've already approved this.
We had a discussion back in May,
right,
which went through the history of the law changes going back to 2019.
So this is just the final?
All the policy changes. We didn't make any amendments to the rules based on any comments.
Got it.
Coming attractions and consistent with the film industry, we will hopefully at our October 29th and 30th meeting have the June version, which will have a much more robust discussion.
Yeah,
of here's what's
similar presentation to May, going through the background.
Remember, May being quite extensive. So.
Yes.
Hoping for more legislation.
Any questions or comments on this? Hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Dragon motion.
Elizabeth, I'll consider that a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the final adoption is approved.
Thank you.
Next, Chris on Camp Blood Productions.
Completed a review of the application and recommends Camp Blood Productions LLC for approval for their project Crystal Lake under the Film Tax Credit Program. Crystal Lake is a feature film that serves as a prequel to the popular Friday the 13th movies. The film shot mainly in West Milford, but also shot in Atlantic Highlands, Ringwood, Boone, Wanacue, Oakland, and Jersey City. As part of the eligibility criteria for credits under the program, the production must meet one of two expense eligibility thresholds. The first threshold is more than 60% of the total production expenses are incurred through authorized New Jersey vendors. The second threshold is the production has to exceed $1 million in qualified film production expenses in a single privilege period. This project meets both eligibility thresholds with 79% and includes a total qualified film production expense of right around $76 million. Just a note, this application is being approved under previous program rules that were prior to the June 30th statutory updates. So this application is including a diversity bonus. So there's a 2% diversity bonus worth about $1.5 million for a total award of $26,939,818. I'm happy to answer any questions or address any concerns.
Consistent with coming attractions, we have the discussion at the next board meeting about changes to the bonus. When we talk about what happened to the diversity bonus, it's worth more, but it's a little broader, recently complicated, but we'll get into that at the next meeting.
Any questions? Anyone on the phone, questions or comments? But hearing none, could I hear a motion to approve?
Yes, my job.
Thanks, Jewel. Second.
Jamira, I'll second it.
Thanks, Jamira. Any further discussions? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, refusals, or abstentions? Hearing none, the motion is approved. Thank you. Tim, board memorandum.
We have a relatively light board memo pack, delegated authority board memo pack this month. There's two credit underwriting approvals with a relatively small loan in Burlington County for a solar company, and then the comings and goings at the New Jersey Bioscience Center with renewals, two different fronts. Agreement at the incubator. I'm happy to take any questions on that.
Any questions for Tim? Okay, hearing none. I would now like to request a motion to enter executive session to discuss a matter involving real estate negotiations that could adversely affect the public interest if disclosed, the minutes of which will become available when the need for confidentiality no longer exists. Could I hear a motion to approve entering executive session, please?
Which move?
Thanks. Second.
Yes.
And thank you, Jewel. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed or abstentions? Hearing none, we will now enter executive session.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just a moment or two of intermezzo while we get organized on the second call and hopefully.
There will be no sort.
Okay. Members of the public will be transferred into a holding line, and anybody in the room who's not involved in with executive session can leave the board room.
Thank you, everybody.
With Mike, Lisa, John, and Bruce, stick around. If not, I didn't just. Did not just say your name. That's dismissed.
You have joined the main room.
And you are back in public session.
Thank you, operator. We're back in public session. If there are any additional comments, hearing none, I'd like to thank everyone for the participation. I would now request a motion to adjourn the meeting. Motion to adjourn.
Yes, Juan Johnson.
Thank you. Second.
Weinrich.
Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Okay, hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everybody. See you.
Have a great day, guys.
See you in a couple of weeks. Virtually in a couple of weeks.
This concludes our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using Verizon Conferencing Services. You may now disconnect.